I am out at my parents' camp. That's like a cottage that they bought ages ago. It's like 15 miles or so outside of the Fredericton city limits. I'm just walking down the hill now to the river. It's way overgrown. This used to be a lot more of a path. Here's like these weird steps that have been built into the side. These have seen better days too. Whoa, shit. This log just kind of started collapsing under my foot. Gotta watch out. This could be a landslide. So yeah, I haven't been out here in a long time. Could be 10 years easy. And it's pretty weird to come back out here. This place is, civilization is slowly encroaching on it. Oh yeah, look at this. This is totally overgrown down here. It used to be like an actual little spot where, remember we had a little dock? And we used to actually swim in this river, which I don't know. I mean, I guess by worldwide standards, there's probably nothing wrong with that. But thinking back, it seems like this river might have been kind of gross. Plus it has eels and shit in it. Maybe it's just because it's still spring and the water's high. Yeah, that's why this looks different, because yeah, I can't see the beach. There it is. It's just a rock beach, but yeah, it's underwater. Anyway, once again, the lack of video is unfortunate here, because it's just ludicrous. It's like a painting. It's fucking absurd. I'm just sitting down here on the edge of the river. Big river. Animals chirping all over the place. Really bright blue sky. Silly clouds. Clouds that are like fucking some guy painted them. I used to walk down along this riverbank all the time too, but I can't really do that right now because the water's too high, so it's all woods and shit. Wow, it's hard to even tell how to get back up. Anyway, my mom and dad are coming out here for the afternoon, so I thought I'd tag along. Had some books to catch up on, so I brought those, and then I got the right idea to bring my recorder and do a show out here also. So it is kind of weird to be surrounded by all this nature and have fucking pockets packed full of batteries and tapes and shit. But yeah, when my parents first bought this place, it was very underdeveloped all around here. Now, it's been 10 years since I've been here, but then I remember just like everything. Test, you fucking piece of shit. I'm gonna try to record some more, just to warn you. I just like to warn people that I've got this thing on. So I just recorded a bunch, I don't know, 15 minutes or something, talking with my ma about this camp and its various histories and such and such.
We like to call it cottage.
Cottage. And my piece of shit battery died because I was recording a dance recital thing last night. Of Dan's daughter Allie's dance thing, and I forgot to change the battery. And there's no way to tell if this thing dies because it doesn't have a light and you can't see the levels on my recorder. And anyway, so after I threw this stupid microphone across the lawn, all I can do now is get back on the trolley. Ah, it's frustrating though. Did you ever hear that Star Wars phrase? I think it's Star Wars. You must learn to master your rage so that your rage does not master you.
Sounds like something Star Trek-y. I'm sure I heard it at some point or another.
And I don't know. There's no question I got a bad temper. I think it's pretty obvious where I get that from, because as recently as an hour ago, Dad was yelling about something. But then didn't you tell me that when you were a kid you had a bad temper too?
Well, I was going to say, I suspected you'd say right off the bat that you obviously inherited it from me. I'm very
pleased
to hear you say you got it from him.
Oh, all the time.
He doesn't see himself as having a bad temper, but me,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, but he clearly does, right? I mean,
I admit, I definitely have an intolerance and a short fuse. Your intolerance you probably get from me.
So basically, though, I have bad genes. Is that what we're at?
Yeah. That's right. You know, didn't stand a chance.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, it's like not like it was even that big a deal. It's just me and you blabbing. We do that all the time. But just die, you know? It's just like I just don't know what to do when things fail on me. It's fucking annoying. So I don't know. That's the other thing, is that you can't really redo something like that, what would be the point of us hobbling our way through that conversation again?
Same.
Yeah, it was somewhat organic.
Spontaneity.
Yeah. Basically, we're at a real old camp. It's fucking old. There. In a nutshell. Biggity bam. Boom.
It's not that old. Well, it's probably 60 years old. 60. 60
well,
years. I guess that's old.
Well, let's jump then to the next thing that we were blabbing about is fires. Tons of fires. Because that even made me think of a song I can play.
Fire. Da, da, da.
No,
not I was that thinking, one.
There's a song by, I can't remember his name. It's a song about a firebug guy who just loves lighting shit on fire. Because you were saying how many years ago, like a dozen years ago or something, the three adjoining properties here all burned down.
But no, more than that, because you think we've had this camp.
Since 85, you said?
1985, so 20. God, how long have we had this thing? My God, 24 years this year. Wow.
Time flies.
So those camps probably burnt a good 20 years ago, 20, 21 years ago, because it wasn't very long. We had been here maybe 2 years, and
then,
those went.
And then the one on the other side of us burned in the middle of the winter, so you were saying suspected arson?
Well, that's what I think. I don't know how else it could burn. It didn't have any power on. It had no, it's like this one. It's not winterized.
So this is the sole survivor.
Oh, here comes the old man there back with the dog.
It annoys me that that's gone. Just all the shit we were blabbing about how there's a well because there's no water and what a well costs and coffee percolation and shit. Duh! Dar! Anyway, apparently I just come out into the woods and bring technology so that it can fail on me and I can get upset. Oh, this sucks balls. Fuck. It sort of put me in a bad mood. Maybe I should just forget this dumb show anyway. It's obviously just making me miserable. Anyway, I'm sure at some point in the future I'll have more opportunities to record little shows with my ma. But that's a shame. Fuck, fuck you, you piece of shit. Fuck you. Fuck. Fuck, fuck. Alright, I just gotta let the nature sink in. Just let the smell of the apple trees sink into my brain.
And listen.
So I am going to finally go for that little stroll, but I was just searching my memory banks of what kind of crap we blabbed about. And the one thing I think is worth retelling is the mouse story about...
The mouse in the pillowcase story?
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's one where we were mowing the lawn out here and I got hit in the head with a rock that night.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Dramatic, too. That's another one. There's all kinds of stories out here.
That was like a ride-on lawnmower and it flung a rock?
Yes.
And smashed you in the head?
Yes, sure. But anyway, that's quite a long good story. Yes, the one with the mouse. It was in the autumn of the year, and the mice had started to move into the property to winterize. So Mark and I, Mark's about five, sleeping in the back bedroom. It was raining out, I remember, too. I was reading him a bedtime story, but I kept feeling this movement under my head, and I was like, what is that? And then I'd ignore it, and then after a while, you just couldn't ignore it anymore. So I took the pillowcase outside, because I didn't know what it was. Could have been a snake, for all I knew. Anyway, threw it out in the back. There was a light on, because we had electricity in those days. And this little mouse went skittering outside. Obviously, was planning to put a net, build a winter nest inside that pillowcase. But anyway, they made me very antsy about sleeping out here and having little things skitter across. I'm not afraid of them.
Well, that's clearly freaky.
When they skitter across your bed sheet and they are in your pillowcase, and you're thinking they might get in your hair. Yeah, no, thank you. Not my bag.
Nice. All right, so I'm going to go for a little stroll. I'll be back. Walking through, this is way overgrown too, some paths, this path behind this camp. Man, oh, what a fucking downer this ended up being. Like, that's just fucking, blah. All right, let me just, God damn it. I mean, it's obvious what my sin was, what my transgression was that I was just going to come out here and bring some books, read some fucking books. But oh no, I got to bring all my shit and do a stupid fucking podcast. I gotta bring technology out into the woods and have it fail on me. See, this whole day kind of started off shit. I had this dream about my horrible junkie brother and me trying to fucking like help him get on the straight and narrow and stuff, which is a dream is the most it can be. I can't even talk to the guy. Like, I just can't. I don't even know how to. The guy is just, I don't even know how to explain. Oh, there's a smell I haven't heard in a while, or smelt in a while. Those, like, what are they called? Snapdragons or something? They're like little plants that you touch them and they kind of explode. Like, bam, and the seeds all fly out. Anyway. And it was one of those things where then I woke up and went to the bathroom and fell asleep and then had another dream about that. Like, the double whammy. It doesn't happen very often, but it's just like, God damn, I just, like, subconscious is just fucking destroying me. Oh, cool. Okay, this might cheer me up a bit. Now I'm walking down this little path through the woods. Oh, there's a dog. You following me, Chico? I noticed the dogs were starting to follow me, but they didn't come. Yeah, as I go down here, there's a sewage, water. It's way down there. Fuck, I don't know if I can get all the way down there. Just a big tube so that the water running down the hill can get to the river. And it's far enough. Yeah, it's all right, Chico, you can come with me. It's big enough that as a kid I could like walk all the way through it. Going home, eh? Fine. You don't want me? That's fine. I don't care. Dog's going home. Anyway, that was a shitty way to start the day. And then when I heard my parents were coming out here, I was like, all right, good. Let's go out here and relax. But yeah, I literally talked to my mom for like 15 minutes. And it's all gone because this shitty fucking battery didn't work. Fuck. Fuck you, you piece of shit. Fuck. Yeah. And I just can't shake it. It's fucking annoying. Even just that story about the mouse in the fucking pillowcase, that was after, you know, 10 minutes of talking about all this stuff of my childhood and shit and fucking the way that the mice here, they'll take all the stuffing from the couches and stuff and start putting them in. I wonder if this is even recording, huh? You even recording now, you fucking piece of shit? Yeah, God. I need a different setup. I need a microphone that doesn't take a battery. I really do, unquestionably. Anyway, they'll take all the stuffing and put it in a drawer because they don't understand that drawers can open. They think it's a safe, secure place. And then you'll open a drawer and all of a sudden, bam, there's a bunch of stuffing and a little nest full of baby mice. Weird shit like that. Or if you don't put a stick, like a little plank in the sink, mice can get stuck in there and they can't get out and you find little mice corpses. None this time, though. Anyway, I don't know. This was going to be a happy, joyous fucking episode of this show, and instead it's turned into one of my hilarious anger ones, which are still very entertaining in their own way. But God damn it. This was supposed to be fun and good. I feel a little better now anyway that I'm out in the woods. Whatever, you know? Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. And it's just my mom's a little reticent to be on the show. Not necessarily. She doesn't turn me down. But then I notice as soon as I start recording, she's suddenly walking away from me a lot and turning away from the microphone. Whatever. I'll have to do a specific show next time we drive somewhere. Road trip show or something. Make a mix CD of stuff that she likes. So, where I'm walking along now, there's these cliffs all along the river. Really steep ones, too. And it's weird because I am fantastically afraid of heights these days. Like, really scared of heights. Even just like the AMC movie theater in Times Square. Just going up the escalator. How you can look down the whole time. Look out the window and look down into Times Square. Freaks the shit out of me. But when I was a youngster, me and my brother, we used to come to this for this series of cliffs. And tie a fucking rope to some trees and just like rappel down these cliff sides. And these things are no fucking joke. I'm standing in the top one right now. I mean, it's not straight down, but it's a pretty good fucking incline. And yeah, it just didn't care at all. Totally fearless. Weird. Anyway, I think that's enough. I'll cut this show short because I'm ahead of myself anyway. I got all these shows done, I can't even post. Right now, it's the end of May. This probably won't go up till the end of June because my Libsyn account is all full. One other thing me and my ma were talking about, I was asking her if there were any songs that being out of this cottage property reminded her of. Oh, I can't believe that didn't record. Fuck. Why couldn't it have just been one of my stupid walking around New York talking about horse shit that didn't record? No one cares about that fucking crap. Anyway, if any songs came to mind from being out here. And I was saying that the one that it made me think of is, but that I wasn't going to play because I hate it, is the Beach Boys song, Kokomo. That was a big thing on the radio back when we used to come out here every weekend. And the radio was always on, and it's awful. I don't know. It's one of those nice little moments of me and my mom both like, yeah, fuck that song. That song's terrible. Ah, God, that's a bad song. So then I was like, but hey, what that makes me think of is that the Bare Naked Ladies have a song called Brian Wilson. Possibly, actually undoubtedly the best song they ever did. So I'm going to play that. My mom was like, that is a good song. You should play that. And that was nice. Nice moments. Gone forever. Well, I guess they still happened. I guess they're still in my memory. Bah. Anyway, surrounded by trees and woods on all sides. I'm sure once I just turn this thing off and fucking get over myself. Everything will be fine. Disappointed! What movie was that from? Fish Called Wanda, I believe. Alright, here's a Bare-Naked Lady song, and fuck me.
Drove downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday night, just to check out the late night record shop. Call it impulsive, call it compulsive, call it insane. But when I'm surrounded, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instinct, it's a matter of conditioning, a matter of fact. You can call me Pavlov's dog. Ring a bell and I'll salivate. How'd you like that? Dr. Landy, tell me you're not just a pedagogue. Cause right now I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did.
Shop.
Call it impulsive, you can call it compulsive, you can call it insane. Oh,
Oh, I just thought of something else I meant to mention. That, I don't know why, one of the reasons why I would have liked to, capture. I don't know, see, that's weird. We did blab a lot about this cottage camp out here and its histories and blah, blah, blah. But I think it really was just the hate for some of the shittier Beach Boys songs that I most regret having lost. Because, so last night was Ali's dance recital. It was like this hour and a half long super dance extravaganza out in Normark Dove. Tons of kids dancing, and of course she's only 5 years old, so she's just part of the funny little kids dancing around sections. But I filmed the whole thing. And, I don't know, as we got there, my mom was fairly incessantly critical of the whole event and its silliness. But just to me. And then as the thing started, she's like, I better go sit, you know, with our other family. Because if I stay here while you're filming, you know, I just won't be able to resist talking to you. Commenting. And then it would be funny because then this video would have on the sly sarcastic comments throughout. I don't know. And I mean, she's fairly relentless about it sometimes. Even more so than I am with my various criticisms of everything. But, I don't know. It's nice. It's nice. It's bonding. Of a sort. I've actually started to realize a little as I get older that some people have a hard time getting along with my mom. Seems weird to me because I never do. Yeah, that seems weird too. Is like, maybe that's why, like, I don't know. My constant criticisms of New York were taken so badly by some people out there. It's like, I'm not trying to criticize you people. Ian and Hemda, specifically, you know. It's not some disparage against your character. You didn't build this fucking city. It's just what I do when I find something to be unacceptable. I just like to complain. A low-level complain. Like background radiation. It's just sort of how things go. It's how I am. That's how my ma is also. So obviously that's where I got it from. But I like it. It's fun. It's fun to be sarcastic about things that are stupid. That's why me and Matt get along so well. Matt Jenkins. I was thinking about New York, about how I gotta give Brolo a thumbs up on that. Anytime I complained about New York, he always was like, yeah man, you're right, you know? He grew up in New York, he loves New York, it's his favorite place, but he doesn't try to pretend that it's not fucked up. I don't know, and he knew I was just having some tough times. Wasn't trying to fucking, I don't know, so much. It was nice. I appreciated that. Wasn't always trying to defend the fucking place. And then we all settle, you know, we settle into a nice thing where we're all recognizing what's going on. And I can fully accept that he really likes New York. I can accept it more because of the fact that when I point out something that's fucked up, he's like, yeah, man, no kidding, for sure. It's like, well, good, nice. And then it's like everything can just melt away and relax. It's this fucking incessant defense that some of those people had out there. It drove me bananas. I don't know. Maybe I'm just hard to get along with. And I don't know. Fuck. What am I doing? Still walking through the woods, deeper and deeper into the woods. Flies around. Okay, well, here, let's talk about that. This particular path that I'm walking down right now, I'm surprised how fast it's going. Like, you know, I really am fucking older and everything seems closer. Not just because I'm bigger, but also after leaving Fredericton, my sense of scale has changed significantly. But I used to ride my little BMX bike down this path. And man, I wish I had a bike right now to do that shit on. It'd be fun. It was super fun. Just driving along and then there'd be like parts with like dips, like a little half pipe sort of almost. And you could just vroom. Go along that and do a big jump at the end. It's amazing how much energy I had as a kid. Like, you know, if I did that 3 or 4 times, that would wear me out, but I just remember doing it over and over and over. I kind of wanted, out in Vancouver, I was looking into this, I never got one, but I kind of wanted to get a BMX bike again, like, old school too. I want to pedal backwards and have it break. I don't want handbrakes. Handbrakes are gay. That shit's queer. Wanted to go super old school with it, but I knew realistically, especially in a city as hilly as Vancouver, it would be hard to actually use that type of thing. It'd wear you out. you need gears and things. So I knew if I spent a lot of money on a bike, I probably wouldn't use it much. So I never got one. But it would be fun to have a BMX again. Although maybe it is the bicycle of the kid, because the kid has got the sugar energy. Excuse me. Little legs just a pumping. Holy fuck! What happened here? The path is fucking gone. Holy shit. Holy fuck. Yeah, it's like a big fucking ravine here. This didn't used to be here. This must have been during the floods and stuff. Just like collapsed. Christ. All right. Survivor, man. Let's do this shit. Oh, climbing down. Boom. Oh, let's get some of that sound. Can you hear those birds? And this creek, the water. Isn't that nice? That's soothing. So if you go to a spa, that's what they play on a fucking CD over the sound system. Turn tape over! Alright, climbing up the other side. This would be easier if I wasn't holding a camera in one hand, microphone in the other hand, and a couple of Tim Hortons cookies underneath my arm. Oh shit, can I make it up this? Come on, fucker. Oh, shit, Christ, the ground is giving away under my feet. Fuck. Yeah, I made it. Holy fuck, man, someone needs to set up like, oh, that'd be so cool. The tree's not big enough, it wouldn't support the weight, but set up like a rope and you could just swing across that. That'd be the best. I'm starting to get a little closer to the highway. You can hear it to my left. Visually, though, I'm still completely surrounded by woods. Here's a road down. I wonder if this leads to someone's house, or maybe it'll just go down to the river. What the fuck was I talking about? I don't know. Let me find a song to play.
Bye.
really don't know what to do about my temper. I definitely have a bad temper. I mean, it's gotten a lot better since I was a kid. I used to just lose my shit over video games and stuff, but... man, I mean, part of it is that I just don't sleep well. I haven't slept well for years. I really should go see a doctor about this. But I don't know, I just get this feeling like they're just not gonna take me seriously. They're not gonna... I don't know. Trust in my... I mean, when you go in and you say, like, I haven't slept well for 10 fucking years. I don't know, doesn't it just seem like I'm being overly dramatic? And then, I don't know, what if they can't... what if I gotta convince the guy that I need to see a specialist? And what if they just tell me to try something stupid? More milk, go to bed earlier, consistent schedules, whatever the fuck, things I've tried that don't work. I don't know, I should just go do it, but so many easy ways to... I don't know, it's just a weird thing. It's easy to find ways to justify not doing things that you really gotta do that would help a lot. But what if there isn't a way to help? I don't think I got sleep apnea or anything. No surgeries. I don't know. What if it's psychological? What if it's a lot of work? I guess that's it. What if I gotta put a whole ton of work into following strict sets of guidelines to keep myself from being all fucked up with sleep? Anyway, that's part of it. I can feel this, like, just rawness behind my eyes because I didn't sleep well last night. I drank a big coffee, but maybe that's starting to wear off too. I mean, there's no question that that's why I got so obsessed with coffee. It's like, I wish it would just stop it. I just want to be awake. I just want to feel fucking rested. Yeah. I mean, here I am, I'm like on this little outcropping where I guess it's for boats to push off from the into the river. Surrounded by water and trees and beautifulness, but I'm just keeping my eyes closed because it just fucking hurts my eyes. Can't even enjoy fucking nature. It's too bright. Gah. Anyway, then part of it, I'm sure, is just that both of my parents have bad tempers. My mom's is more of a slow boil, though. My dad, he just has outbursts. Just whatever dumb little thing isn't working. And it's, like, just ridiculous that I was sitting here preparing to... I was like, I should blab about this for a bit. And I'm trying to put my headphones in to see if there's songs I can play while I'm holding my recorder and stuff, because it's just dirt and rocks around here. I don't want to put it down in the dirt. So I'm trying to put my headphones in and, like... One slips out of my ear, and then I drop the thing, and it's just dangling by an ear, and I'm just like, fuck, come on, what the fuck? You know, just without realizing it, the outburst hit me. It's like, wow, that's exactly the type of thing that I was specifically going to blab about, and how I need to figure out ways to not do it, and then I still did it. It's like, I don't know what the fuck is my point. I wish my eyes didn't hurt. There's a song I can play. The Third Metric album came out a little bit ago. And it doesn't seem like anything super fantastic. Pretty standard. Not like Metric ever was super innovative, but a good band. But it took quite a while, quite a few listens for anything to really sink in for me on this album. And that's one reason why I can understand why people skip the music in my show. Because... For me, anyway, I'm of the particular disposition that music doesn't usually sink in for me the first time. Just checking to see if I'm still recording. Like, oh, I could have lost that. Me complaining about my random ailments. Who gives a fuck? Yeah, so, I mean, like all the other people that do ham radio type shows, it's very rare. I like their shows a lot, but it's very rare that hearing a song for the first time, I really go like, hey, I like that song. It almost always needs a few listens for me. So I'm sure it's like that with many other folk too. So it's like, kind of, why bother? You know, I can see why you'd skip the songs if they're all just going to wash over you anyway. So this Metric album was a good example, you know? I kind of liked the first single, which is the first track on the album, Help Me, I'm Alive, I think it's called. Or, I mean, at least it stuck in my head early on. And but the album in general, it's like, yeah, I don't know, you take it or leave it. And then all of a sudden this one song started to poke out. And I don't know why exactly. Is it really better than the other songs? Something about it just kind of sunk in quicker than the others? Who knows? But now it seems like it's clearly the best song, clearly my favorite. But it wasn't clear at first, so yeah, I don't know. Maybe this won't make any impression whatsoever. But I'm just at the right point in the curve here where it seems like a really good song to me, and then it'll wear out and stuff. Anyway, it's called Satellite Mind, track 3, I believe. So let's listen to that. I don't know why I'm not in a better mood. Surrounded by nature, isn't that supposed to be it? Maybe I should have stayed home and played fucking Grand Theft Auto 4 on the Xbox I borrowed from Brad. Maybe that would have made me happier. Gah, blah, zah, blah. I don't know, I've been going through this little nature revival lately. It seems like being out in the world is like the best thing to do, the best place. But maybe not. Maybe it's not that easy. I mean, it's still better than that urban blight, you know, of like New York, for instance, but... Alright, here's some metric. I'll tell you one thing I forgot about the East Coast. Fucking Mosquitoville. And I got stuck on the path here. There's this huge puddle that is going to be tough to walk around because there's really thick woods on either side. and this really big puddle of just gross-looking, awful, stagnant water just sitting there. And this is a fucking mosquito-breeding pit. This is why we have mosquitoes from hell. I always thought that was unfair that out in Vancouver there's really no mosquitoes to speak of because they don't have the stagnant water. What happens is the snow melts around here and it collects in pockets like this, and these gross little buggers just blah. And then they have a very short life cycle, so they fucking freak out and they're just like insanely intense for a little while, making it awful and miserable around here. So yeah, I forgot about that a little bit. That sort of sucks. Actually, I'm going to record while I try to walk around this thing. Just realize that if I do fall in, it'd be a lot funnier to get the audio. Look at that. Some kind of weird water bug running around on the surface of the water. That's weird to be an insect who just doesn't break the surface of water. That's like a solid to them. You can just run around on it. All right, let's see. How do I do this? Shit. Oh, halfway. Not so bad. All right, I'm gonna make it. Booyah! Fuck you, nature. Eat my fucking dick. You know, if someone does listen to this fucking years in the future, oh, I wonder what Keith McNally was like when he was 29. Apparently he's a complainy dipshit. He's a fucking douche nozzle of the highest degree. Nature Walk with Keith McNally. Hey, everything sucks balls. Everything is awful. Blah, 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 blah. Wah, 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 wah. Oh, hey, look at that. A little caterpillar type thingy. Oh, there's a story that I told in this segment, me and my mom were talking about in the segment that didn't record, is years and years ago when I was a kid and we were out here. My dad fell through the septic tank here. It was like, it was a big oil drum type thing on its side and it was really close to the surface. And I guess was old, because he was walking up the hill, and bam, his leg went right through it. And he ended up having to wear this big leg brace for quite a while. But yeah, he just, like, pulled his leg out, and, you know, it's all covered in, like, gross liquid shit. And, I don't know, like, better him than me. Imagine if, like, one of the little kids, one of us had fallen through. Just, like, boom, we would just be in. We would be surrounded by shit. It would be very possible to drown to death in shit. That would be so gross. Bad way to go. Funny story to tell the relatives. What happened to your other son? Oh, he drowned in shit. He fell in the septic tank and died. That would suck. I wish I could just will myself into being in a better mood somehow. I'm reading this book right now called Proust Was a Neuroscientist, and it's about how artists oftentimes discovered things before science did. This first example is about Walt freaking Whitman, Leaves of Grass, My Ass, who in his book Leaves of Grass, apparently, I went to try to find a copy at the Owl's Nest, the big used bookstore. They didn't have it, but from the excerpts in this book, I presume I would not actually care for it. Freeform poetry type stuff, which I don't really have a problem with necessarily. If it's like Charles Bukowski or somebody who's not talking a lot of shit, but, well, Whitman, I mean, this is the 1800s. This dude used a lot of fucking weird language and terminology that seems a little more obscure than it needs to be. But one of his big things, well, I've doubled back around, so now I'm going across the big caved-in ravine gully thing again with still no roped Indiana Jones across. One of his big things was that the body and the soul are not interchangeable. Like, what was the guy's name? Descartes, I believe, who originated the concept of the body and soul being two different things. Or maybe he was the body and the mind. I don't know. Anyway. But the idea that you have a soul is clearly just flat-out silliness. But even just the idea that your brain is where, you know, you, quote-unquote, reside, that your thoughts and feelings originate from the brain, they are starting to find is not necessarily right. That it's more, you know, your whole body, your sensory inputs, a lot of what you feel originates from your limbs, from your various body parts, from all of you. It's all contributes. And it can lead to, like, phantom limb syndrome, why that occurs, and I don't know, whatever stuff. But the point is, Walt Whitman was onto something without really having any way to prove it or any real evidence, just by searching for the truth, as it were. And meanwhile, the scientists at the time were big into phrenology. You may recall that Mr. Burns is big into, because it's ludicrously, hilariously outdated. That's where you measure the nooks and crannies and sizes and shapes of the various parts of a person's skull. And you can supposedly determine things about them based on this. And they really treated it like it was a real science because they could find ways to justify their findings. They could find ways to pretend that this shit made sense. When they were way off, and Walt Whitman was the guy who was, you know, going in the right direction. So that's interesting in a way that, you know, I don't know, I guess the argument is that science and spirit need to kind of intertwine. You can't just go purely for science because you can get way off base. Where if you just sit back and soak in what's around you and just try to find the meaning of life or whatever, in a more artistic sense, it can lead you to better, more valuable results. What was the point I was trying to make? Oh, well, I guess just, I don't know, reading this has made me think, like, yeah, I should take a little better care of my physical form. I should pay more attention. I should, like, sort of exercise more. Or I started getting it in my head that maybe it'd be nice to work outside. I keep thinking of, like, the end of Shawshank Redemption where Andy's just on the beach sanding a boat. But I don't know. I don't actually have a point. Oh, here's a nice song. I've played this song before, but let's play it again. This is Elliott Smith, Independence Day. My favorite Elliott Smith song, and arguably my favorite song. It definitely was my favorite song for a good stretch, a couple of years at least. This makes me think of Vancouver. When I first moved out there, I still hadn't, like, had a girlfriend or had a normal relationship with a woman. And I guess that was one of the problems in my hometown, was I just thought if I waited long enough, things will happen somehow, magically. And that's not how life works. You gotta go get what you want. But I heard of Elliott Smith just before I left Fredericton. And what's the line from this song? It's gonna happen soon, but not today, basically, was kind of like my little mantra. Until I realized that it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen ever. I gotta fucking go, man. So I did. I moved out to Vancouver. And this remained my favorite song even after I did start dating a girl. And all of a sudden, you know, we were kind of playing house. And I had a job and I was self-sufficient and paying my own bills. And all of a sudden, in this weird whiplash 6 months, I became a grown-up. You know, it's like, all right, I'm doing all the shit grown-ups do. Right on. And then it was nice to listen to this song because the sense of longing was gone. It was not that someday, ooh, maybe I'll get my shit together. It was like, holy hell, look at this, my shit's together. Fucking cool. Didn't really last. Things kind of spiraled and weirdly mutated and changed, but all still for the ultimate best. Way better off than I would have been if I stayed here in Fredericton. It's just a really good song, so Elliott Smith, Independence Day, from EXO.
between all the people out making a scene and a bright ideal to
something I was gonna say, something I was gonna blab about, and just in the course of listening to that one song, I totally forgot what it was. Maybe this is a good sign. I do feel like, I don't know, a sort of a nice pleasant forgetfulness has settled over me. Maybe the woods are finally starting to sink in, or I just don't care about whatever dumb thing I was gonna talk about that's so important. There was like two other things I was going to talk about too. What were they? Wow, I really did forget the first two things. Weird, I remember the third one, but I was going to get to that later. I guess maybe this is what people, I don't know, dig about drinking all the time or getting stoned. Just relax and forget stuff. Forget about your worries and your strife. I think I was gonna say something about my dad. Something about the bad temper thing.
I feel money tugging at my life. It's a big one.
Tender is the day the demons go away.
man, I just stopped at one of those cliffs I used to rappel down as a kid and stared blankly off the side for a minute. Still don't remember. Is this some kind of mental defense? Where it's like, oh, there it is. Okay, I remember. The second thing, I still don't remember the first one. I remember when I was a teenager, that super duper time of self-reflection and introspection and trying to figure out everything. It used to seem like that it would take a lot of self-reflection and sifting through the contents of my own brain to reach a point where I just kind of felt nicely comfortable and okay with how things were. And it wouldn't usually last very long. And I don't know, after like years of it, it starts to wear one out, you know? It would start to question, like, is this really worth it? Is it really worth it to sift through all the fucking things going on in my head and in my brain? Am I really getting enough out of this? But I mean, I don't know, at the end of the day, I just gotta trust that I did, that I still am. That, you know, it's not coincidence that a lot of people, the vast majority of people, don't really seem to stand out, don't really go anywhere, don't really achieve anything particularly notable. Because if it was easy for your life to turn out cool, it would happen a lot more often. It's obviously a lot of work. But it would get tiresome too, where it would seem like I would just sort of keep falling into the same little pits of self-doubt and you know, after a while it's like, man, again? Thought I figured this out. I thought I had this all figured out, all sorted. But, I don't know. I guess that's just how it is. I just sort of definitely care less these days about arguing and debates. Oh, there we go. That reminds me. Okay, there's the first thing I was going to say. Is about my temper. That's it. How easy it can be for me to just get mad. These little flares, these little bursts of being upset that are hard to shake sometimes. Because I think part of that is why I'm near that big pipe tunnel tube thing. Man, this thing, if anything, this seems bigger than it was when I was a kid. How do I get down there? Fuck! This is some crazy Goonies adventure shit. Is that where it is? I don't know. But, yeah, the idea of not trying to accrue material possessions, just sort of trying to let things slide. I used to remember when I worked at the comic store, I was often annoyed and frustrated by all those weirdos that went there and just wasting their lives on shit, talking to me about what happened in the new Captain America. Just, I don't fucking care. Fuck you. You idiot. This doesn't matter. Which is, why did I work there? I don't know, but it was just an easy job and it was fun generally, and I convinced myself that I was not one of them, because I wasn't just hanging out at the comic shop. I got paid to be there, but somewhat of a justification there. But my friend Andrew Debley would say that I was the calmest, coolest dude that he ever met. Just like how, I don't know, I would just let frustration roll off my back. And I always thought that was a weird assessment and largely inaccurate, because I saw myself as more of a boiling pot of barely contained resentment. And if anything, I probably just being sort of nice and friendly to people probably made it worse that I didn't ever let it out. I didn't express myself truly and properly. But even before then, I just remember shit like, you know, I don't know, you lend a video game to a friend or a half friend or a school friend, and maybe you never get it back. And like, who cares, you know? Who cares? You just gotta let it go. You just gotta not give a shit. It's not worth being frustrated over. Or even just with video games. That's how I stop being mad at video games, is I just stop playing them. Just put this shit down. Oh, here I go, down another steep hill without using my hands. Whoa, oh shit, fuck. Oh, and my shoes are not good for this. Oh, there's a broken beer bottle. That's weird to find way out here. Oh, fuck, I just walked into a big spider web. Sorry, spider, I didn't see that shit, fuck. Oh well, Christ. Yeah, so in some ways I think that is part of what led me to, I don't know, some reduced expectations in some ways of life. Just like, why worry about what's happening, what's gonna happen, what you're achieving, where you're going? Just fucking stresses a person out. just fucking don't worry about it. Just let it slide. And it's not necessarily because I got to a point where I can just let it slide. It's that, or, you know, that I'm comfortable with that, that I've come to it as a distinct decision. It's that I have to, or I'll go bananas. Because maybe I never quite figured out how to deal with all my various rage issues. Man, yeah, like, this is fucking hardcore to get down here. This is some serious Indiana Jones spelunky shit. Good on you, little Keith. Little 8-year-old Keith. Because you came down here all the fucking time and you had an easier time of it than I fucking am having right now. Alright. Yeah, so, walking through the woods, introspection time. Self-diagnosis. Self-therapy. Thanks for listening. At least there's some music.
I wish. get so impatient. I couldn't stand the wait. When will I get my cuddle? Who are you? I know.
This definitely seemed bigger, though, when I was young. This tube is still pretty big. I think I can go in there. Yeah, I can still fit in there. But this little pool at the end did seem bigger at the time. Still, though, largely unchanged. There's a big tire here somehow that someone left. Whoa, weird. I wonder if I should climb all the way through. That could be creepy. I don't know if I can get up into there without getting wet. Maybe I should try to go around to the other side. I'll just have to turn off the recorder. No two ways about it. I'll see if I can turn it back on once I'm in there. Holy shit, man. That was fucking hard to get in. I had to try to, like, pull myself up with my upper body strength, which is not so strong. I still got my foot a little bit wet. But I bet this sounds cool and echoey now. All right, I'm going through the tunnel. The big pipe that the water runs through. Yeah, and definitely not a sewage pipe. This is very nice, clean water. Not that I'm gonna drink it or nothing. I did take a moment to pee in it there earlier. So I'm bad with heights, but I'd say this thing is probably about 4 feet tall. So I'm a little hunched over. But I can still easily make it all the way through. Pretty cool. I don't know if I ever had the balls to do this as a kid. I don't really remember traveling through it because it always seems so long and dark and frightening. Oh man, though, surely I must have had someone come to one end and like make a little boat and send it down. Wish I had someone here with me now, I'd do that. Oh, I can smell the snapdragons again. Oh, fuck. All right, I made it through to the other end. Shit, just being bent over like that. Whew, it's a little rough. Man, ooh, wow. Huh. Let me just catch my breath. Oh. Fuck. Anyway, I was gonna say, shit. Yeah, physical exertion like that kind of. See, maybe this helps with the neuroses. Oh, it says 1912 on it, so I guess that's when they made this big pipe. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's always a pain in the ass to me with, like, comedians that are all neurotic and have all these problems. It's like, just fucking snap out of it, will ya? But I've done my fair share of complaining on this show. But on the other hand, sometimes I find it interesting to hear somebody air out their problems. So, I don't know, I'm undecided. But, yeah, just like going through there, suddenly I gotta worry about the fact that my legs are getting sore, my back's hunched over, and I can't really stop and rest because I'll fall into a bunch of water. Kinda helps take away random naggy brain issues, because it's like, who gives a fuck. Now, to finish things off, I said I was finishing things off earlier and I didn't, but now to really finish things off, unless I decide to talk some more later, as I walk back up. Holy fuck, how do I get out of here? I'm stuck in this like big fern gully. This big, I don't know. But I don't want to go back through the tube because it'd be really tough to get down on the other side into the water pool. But I listened to three songs as I was doing that. And each time I was like, hey, I should play that song. One of them was a medley of Faith No More covers by some Brazilian band. And then Stereophonics doing a cover of Nothing Compares to You But I think what I'm going to play is Dwight Yoakam doing a cover of I Want You to Want Me. Because I always liked this song. I first heard it or became aware of it. I mean, it's a classic old-ass tune, but in 10 Things I Hate About You, I think, Letters to Cleo performs it at the end. And so I always already liked it. And the fact that I'm starting to get more into country stuff, I used to hate that kind of shit when I was younger. I like it a lot better now. Dwight Yoakam in particular, I remember my dad had a bunch of his stuff, his LPs, and I never liked the guy at all. Whew, made it up the hill. But he's Doc Brown in the Crank movies, and he does an awesome job. And then I happened to download a bunch of cover songs, and here was him doing the country version of I Want You to Want Me. And lo and behold, I didn't hate it. My first little foothold, maybe, into not hating Dwight Yoakam. Dwight Yoakam, the musician. Dwight Yoakam, the actor, is fantastic. I love that guy. Whew. So, I'm not too far from the old camp now. I'm gonna walk on back. Dwight Yoakam, I Want You to Want Me. Quick, I only got a couple minutes left on this tape. I've been back to the camp for like half an hour now. I was gonna ask my dad about his recollections of Kokomo playing on the radio all the time. I suspect that he actually liked that song a little, but Speaking of my dad's explosive temper, mosquito. I don't know, he's putting scallops on a little stick to get ready to barbecue them, and I don't know, he dropped one, and you just hear him like, fuck, dull cunt, just like yelling loud expletives. I'm talking quiet so he doesn't hear me. And yeah, I don't know, it's like, whatever, I'm not in the mood to try to get civil conversation out of him, that's to that. But I also wanted to say that now that I got back after that hike and going through the tunnel and walking up and down hills and shit, and I was just worn out at first, but now it's just kind of settled into a nice, I don't know, I feel better. That reminds me how Ian used to say in New York that, man, that chick fucking worked all day and then went to the gym and didn't get home until, like, fucking super late just to go to bed and go back to work. And, just had no free time. So a lot of times when I'd be hanging out, holy fuck, mosquitoes all over the place. She would skip the gym a lot so we'd have time to actually do stuff. But she said, you know, times when I wasn't around and she'd start going to the gym again, that, you know, it leveled her out some. Like, the gym helped fight away the crazies. And I understand what she meant. Just the physical exertion, I don't know, somehow just keeps you level a little bit. So maybe my Walt Whitman rambling has got some truth to it after all. Maybe there is a sense to that. Just gotta... It probably would help me sleep. If anything, I bet that would help with my sleep problems. Some more physical activity, some exertion. So maybe I should look into that, particularly while it's summer, because once winter hits, unless I want a fucking snowshoe, I got nothing.
Talking about.